1110 and 99.3 WPT proudly presents America's Coolest Conservative. Well, proudly could be stretching it a bit. Welcome to the TJ Ritchie Show.
Running a little haywire tonight. I had a knot in my ear monitoring devices, my broadcast ear monitors, and I barely got that knot out in time to start talking to you. So the Pampers are playing a preseason game tonight, and they're playing the Steelers. We just heard that in the sports report, and I felt that. Felt that coming in tonight because the Steelers have so many fans that live in Charlotte. It's crazy. And that used to upset me because I don't like it when, and I guess it still does to a certain extent, when people have to leave their city that wherever they're from, because the opportunities are much better in the South. So they leave Pittsburgh, and they come here in droves, and they're nice people for the most part. I've never had any type of ruckus with a Steelers fan, but they come here because their city can't give them what they need to live a good life, and then they still root for that team against what is now the team that represents the city that saved them. Right? The city that was your island when you were floating, lost, about to drown in that old broken down steel city where you can't go get a sandwich without pinballing on the sidewalk into 100 union workers. With their signs. Even when they're not on strike, they carry those picket signs, is what I heard. Now, I've never been to Pittsburgh. But I just know that I came to that revelation when I moved to Charlotte from Louisiana, and I realized, you know what? I don't need to be supporting the Saints over the Panthers anymore. I always wanted to live in a city that was big enough to have sports franchises. Now I'm here. I'm going to be a Panthers fan. So D.C. has a lot of, Redskins fans. There are a lot of those here. I always notice that as well. And I don't like it. I don't. Look, and I'm a huge fan of the Redskins quarterback because he's an LSU fella, Heisman Trophy winner. But still. You should support the team that represents the city that saved you. I know if I'd been in some non-Southern city and I came to Charlotte and I was like, oh my God, what is this about? This is heaven. I can't believe what a great decision it was for me to move to the South from a non-Southern city. Because you know it's way better. It's a way better way of life. If it weren't, you wouldn't be here. So I challenge all you people going to the game tonight wearing your Steelers merch and everything. When you get there, you ceremonially strip it off and go buy some Panthers merch. Because even if you don't want to admit that what I'm saying is right and what you should be doing, you got to admit that the Panthers uniforms are 1,000 times better looking than the Steelers uniforms. Seriously. Because, I mean, we can agree to disagree on whether or not you should be supporting the Steelers still when you fled Pittsburgh and came here. I always picture it being in the middle of the night, like you're trying to get out of there before they see that you're leaving and arrest you. But then you get here. But you, even if you don't believe in that, you're just lying to yourself if you think that the Steelers uniforms look better than the Panthers uniform, because they don't. Panthers uniforms are really cool. And I'd say if they weren't. You know, there's another fella that I really like in sports. He is, I think, the number one pitcher in the major leagues, and he just happens to pitch for the Pittsburgh Pirates, who have those same colors. His name's Paul Skeens, LSU national champion pitcher. But when he got drafted to the Pirates, I looked at my son and I said, that's a sad, sad situation. And it wasn't because I knew the Pirates organization was terrible and they weren't going to support him, which has been proven. They're not run properly and they haven't supported him. He's got the lowest ERA. That stands for earned run average, ladies. If you got a low one, it's like golf. If it's low, then that means it's good. But they can't hit to get him any wins or anything. So, but what the first thing I said was, he's going to have to wear those ugly uniforms. I swear to you, I know I'm just prodding people right now, but that's the God's honest truth. I said that because I genuinely think that those Pirates uniforms and those Steelers uniforms are awful. Awful. And then every now and then you'll see an attractive person wearing some of that stuff, and that erases their attractiveness because it's so bad. I mean, everybody knows their colors, black and yellow, black and yellow, black and yellow. Yeah. Say, okay, let's go in and design uniforms to look the very best that we can. What do y'all think about bumblebees? You like the way a bumblebee looks? That's what we're going to do. We're going to go with that color. We're going to look like bumblebees because we're going to sting everybody. Ooh, my stinger's out. I'm going to sting you. So, I really I had plenty of time to think about all of these important issues when I was sitting in the traffic. And, I think it's important to get that message out there. You know, if I can save one Steelers fan from putting on those hideous colors, or at least thinking twice about putting on those hideous colors and going outside, then I've done my job. It's just awful. Awful. And I'm not even going to get into women wearing jerseys and stuff. That's for a different show one day. Am I pro? Am I con on women wearing jerseys? I'll put it this way. I'm just as okay with women wearing jerseys as I am with men wearing jerseys tucked into their pants, which I see that a lot. You ever seen that, Lonnie?
Too many times.
It's like, okay, so, you know, you're a big back fella and you're trying to dress up a football jersey by tucking it in like you're going to play golf in it or something.
Why do that?
I don't know. I don't get it. But I just hope they're not, when I go home, I hope they're not a bunch of them roaming around down there and stuff, those Steelers people. Again, not that they, you know, they've been mean to me or anything. I just, I got to go home and go to bed because I do a morning show I got to get up for. And if I see a lot of that purple, that black and yellow, then it's going to irritate me, give me anxiety and all that. And I won't go to sleep when I get home. And I needs my rest. I needs it. I think we're going to really kick things off next. I'm going to give you a peek into the way the Democrat mind works in 2025. And I don't know, it may be the way that it's always worked. But we're going to focus on one Mr. Congressman from California, Eric Swalwell. He's a tough one, isn't he? We'll get to him coming up next.
More of the TJ Ritchie Show is coming up.
Hear the TJ Ritchie Show every weeknight at 7 Eastern. Stream it live at tjritchie.com or listen later as a podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or my media center at tjritchie.com. You'll be so glad you did, hopefully. That's tjritchie.com.
Late, live, and local. It's the TJ Ritchie Show on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT.
All right, go ahead and hit it up. 704-570-1110. I'd love to hear your voice tonight talking to me, or I'll just read what you got to say. There are a lot of people who like to text because they can just sit out and then just fire them off, and there'll be all these insults and everything. And I guess it makes them feel big. So if you want to keep doing that, that's fine. Oh, I'll say it now. Oh, you got me. Oh, you got me. That hurt. Oh, you're so right. I'm stupid. Okay, I'm sorry. All right, so remember that. That should cover it for the night with your insults out of your little liberal brain. WBT text line is driven by Liberty Buick GMC. Never forget that. Okay. My brother and I were talking the other night on my way home from this this volunteer job. And he lives in Magnolia, Arkansas. I call him Todd because that's his name. And the subject of Eric Swalwell came up because Eric Swalwell is a clown. And he is he's a congressman from California. And on his bio, on his website, it makes sure to mention that his parents were Republicans. Yet he's a liberal Democrat, and I guess it's kind of to say, I was raised with Republican values, but now I see the Democrat, blah, blah, blah. Meaning, I guess he's trying to show that he may be bipartisan. I don't know. But he's not. He's a wannabe Marxist. But the thing about it is that he is everywhere now. You can't turn on a liberal TV camera in the United States without him buffaloing people to get in front of it. I mean, he's just knocking old ladies out of the way and bam, bam, elbows everywhere just to get in front of those cameras. And one of the things that he does now is he gets in front of people or on these, you know, speaking engagements or whatever, and he cusses a lot. He's talking all tough, and he's dropping the F word here and there and this and that. I mean, you know, just to show that he is mad as hell. He's so mad he can't contain himself. He's cussing. So he's cussing. That means he's tough. That means he's angry, and it means he's just like you and me. He cusses. Oh. Now, here's what I mean by the way the Democrat mind works. You know, if you're a professional Democrat, such as Eric Swalwell. Eric Swalwell is famous for having an affair, like cheating on his wife, with a Chinese spy. He didn't know she was a spy. Obviously, you know, they don't introduce themselves as, "Hi, I'm a spy. What do you do for a living?" But this affair was found out, and He was talking about stuff he shouldn't have been talking about with her, because being a congressman, he's privy to classified information, and she worked for China. So if that happened to a person who has any type of morals or any type of decency or any level of self-reflection, that person would be doing the opposite of what Eric Swalwell does. That person would probably say, "No, I'm doing more harm than good. I made a mistake. I'm paying for the mistake, and I'm embarrassed. I don't want to be seen anymore. I'm getting out of public life. I may try to move somewhere where nobody can put two and two together to know who I am, try to fix my family, all of that. But in the mind of a Democrat politician, that matters not. Like I said, he is everywhere. And it's because of the narcissism that runs rampant through the Democrat Party. None of that other stuff means anything to him. Because you remember, they don't care about people that they say they care about, because they don't. They don't care about anybody. They only care about themselves. And that's the definition of a narcissist, a true narcissist. It's not that somebody just thinks a lot of themselves or they're arrogant or whatever, selfish. It means that the person doesn't possess the ability to care about anything or anybody but themselves and what is in life for them, what they can gain. So if he had even one ounce of decency, he wouldn't be running out in front of the cameras and talking and especially drawing as much attention to himself as he does and out there flexing like he's great. I'm the greatest. I'm coming out here to save everyone. I'm going to kick Trump's butt. And blah, blah, blah. The least he would do if he were a decent person is just kind of go into the background. He would tell the Democrat Party bosses, hey, don't sign me up to go out and rally people and try to discuss all of this stuff, because all that's going to happen is people are going to bring up the fact that I have no credibility because I had an affair with a Chinese spy and gave her classified information. And she wasn't even that hot. I don't even think she was hot at all. So you got a Democrat, though, like Eric Swalwell. But the thing about it is that they have always been able to rely on the media to bury all of their skeletons, to bury all of their scandals and everything. But that doesn't work anymore. Because there are too many people out there singing the right song and telling the right story. But I wonder how many, just say in a week, how many comments on social media, how many emails, how many, any type of correspondence with the Eric Swalwell office. I wonder how many they get in a week chastising him and calling him out for what he really is. I bet they get 1,000 a week, if not more, because people know the story now. So now when he goes out doing that, people are laughing at him. They're mocking him, which is my philosophy. Identify liberalism and mock it. What we do. But he's just so sickening. Just like Gavin Newsom, you know, they're on each other's team. Gavin Newsom should be so embarrassed by what he's done to California. I mean, because California is great. Let me tell you, I lived out there for a while. It is great. It used to be. But Gavin Newsom has done nothing but destroy it, because that's the plan of the Marxists. Destroy everything and rebuild it the way we want. And he, Gavin Newsom, is going to be a candidate for president in the next election. He's going to think of the narcissism that goes with that. He was mayor of San Francisco, one of the greatest cities America has ever had. He ruined it. It it became dilapidated in his leadership. People, homeless, drug addicts, pooping on the sidewalk, defecating on the sidewalks in this great tourist town, so much that they had to hand out maps to tell people where to be careful when they're walking, instead of cleaning it up and doing something with the homeless, the urban outdoorsmen that are pooping on the sidewalk. You just tell people, you know, just you make an adjustment. You people who are the, you know, you're the ones who are productive in society. You're doing what you're supposed to do. You adjust what you do to the vagrants and what they're doing. So he ruins that. Then he becomes governor. And all through COVID, he was, you know, pointed at as being a hypocrite. His state was on lockdown because that was the order from the Democrat bosses. Our state was on lockdown because the Democrat bosses telling Roy Cooper that he got to live out his dream of pretending to be an iron-fisted dictator. So it was the same with California. California is off. There are more people fleeing California than there are people trying to flee Guatemala, because Gavin Newsom has worked with the other unfettered liberals, and it's awful. But he's still, look at what I've done. I'm going to run for president. That tells you right there that, you know, the Democrats are not, they're not built on merit of any kind. They don't operate by merit. They operate on who are the chosen ones. You know, if you get to be a chosen member of the Democrat Party as a politician, then you get excused, you get promoted. No matter how badly you do, you're going to fail up. And that's Gavin Newsom and Eric Swalwell right now. So we can't let that happen anymore in North Carolina. I say no to Roy Cooper. Roy Cooper could be running against one of the giraffes out at the Lazy Five Ranch at Mooresville, where you can go through and feed the giraffes in the field. And I'm voting for the giraffe. I don't like him. He's not good for North Carolina. Never has been. All right. Hang on. We got more coming up.
The TJ Richey Show.
Hear the TJ Richey Show every weeknight at 7 Eastern. Stream it live at tjrichey.com or listen later as a podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or my media center at tjrichey.com. You'll be so glad you did, hopefully. That's tjrichey.com.
He's radio royalty in the Carolinas and Queen Charlotte's sweetest prince. It's TJ Richey on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT.
Hey, thank you for listening, lady and gentlemen. We got it going on. We got it going on like a pot of neck bones. That's what we're doing up in here. Isaac's doing some important work. Do you want to tell people what you're doing during the show?
Stuff.
No, tell them. You're trying to learn under my expert tutelage.
Practicing new tricks.
I'm teaching them how to flick the cover of a Zippo lighter and make it pop open rather than just clicking it back on the hinge. You just snap it and it pops open.
It's much harder than he would like for you to believe.
Because, you know, I used to be a cool smoker. Some of my proudest days when I smoked the cigarettes. Being able to do great tricks like that with the cigarette lighter.
Got it.
You did? You did it? Look at you. I knew you'd make something of yourself someday. There's a person that I've already banned from listening to the show. But she, and I'm going to say she because I think it writes like a woman, just sits every night and waits and sends me some sort of a, like each night the insults get worse because I think she wants attention from me. It's just like, okay, I really, really hate his show and I think he's an idiot or a dumb F. She has called me before. Even last night, she said something about stop saying you're popular or well-known or a well-known radio host. You are not. Three thumbs down emojis. And then I said, well, you sure never miss a show, do you? Already back at it tonight.
You think this is like an elementary school thing when the girl who's mean to you likes you?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Probably. Whoever it is, just looking for attention. And like I said, you know, before you even started with those, with the insults, I already gave you your responses that you want. Oh, yeah, I'm stupid. Yeah, sorry about that. I'll change. You're right. Oh, blah, blah. I apologize. Blah, blah, blah. So you got all of those ahead of time. So there you go. And then somebody says, late to the party, TJ, but you love us displaced Buffalo Bills fans, right? Because that's what I started the show with, talking about all the Steelers fans that live in Charlotte and how hideous their uniforms are. And then I think when you escape, you know, a city just barely with your life, which I assume everybody that moves from Pittsburgh, that's how they got here. They're like refugees. Coming to the big South so they can make a life for themselves and their children. That you should support the things in that town, including their sports teams. She said, you like Buffalo Bills fans, right? We birthed the Panthers, LOL. And her name is Monique. Well, I'm going to tell you this, Monique. I do love the Bills uniforms. I think they're great. I like Josh Allen. I like a lot of things about the Bills. And if you live in Charlotte now, that should be your second favorite team. And you know what? I like a lot of upstate New York people. I'll even give you that. And I like the name Monique. I really do. Sophisticated sounding. That's French, ain't it? A little French girl. but, you know, thank you for not being rude and stupid. You're great. Thanks for listening. Thanks for sending in your comment. Let's see. Who else has got something cool to say? A Steelers fan saying it's not anxiety you feel when you see those colors. It's the intimidation. No, really, it's not. Because I'll admit when there's a football team better than the one I like, I mean, I have no problem admitting that. It is the colors. And then he put his union number up here as well. No, he didn't. I'm kidding. His name is Tim. Thanks, Tim. Thanks for playing along with the fun. And then here's one. Jeff said, good evening, TJ. Wondering if you're following the Cracker Barrel rebranding and what that's going with. And I'd already planned to talk about this tonight because it's not that I'm going to come on and act like, oh, I knew about it. I knew this. I knew that. Because I made a mistake with the Cracker Barrel story. I did. And I'm not, you know, I'm not one of those people that can't admit when he makes a mistake. If I make a mistake, I genuinely see that I did, then I admit it and I try to fix it. So I made a mistake with the Cracker Barrel story, and don't have time to get into it right now, but in the next break, the next segment, I'll explain it and beg your forgiveness as the 11 listeners. That's what I'll do, because I feel like I may have let you down a little bit. All right. So we'll get into that next.
It's TJ Ritchie. He's America's coolest conservative.
Yep.
Welcome to the TJ Ritchie Show on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT.
The green-eyed patriot is in the hair. In the hair. Yep. Okay, here's the thing that I say that I did wrong, okay? The whole Cracker Barrel thing came up the first time with me. It was either the first of this week or the end of last week. On my morning show called the TJ and Riggins Show, which you can hear in its entirety at tjritchie.com or tjriggins.com. At your leisure, you can hear that. And Riggins is... I mean, he's really on top of pop culture type stories, and he'll get, I don't know where he gets, he won't tell me the sources that he uses because he wants to be special, but he gets these, it's kind of like breaking Brett Jensen with local Charlotte news and stuff, where he gets it before everybody else. That's the way Riggins is with pop culture type stories. So he brought it up, and this is the first I heard about it. And he brought it up as a way to, like, he thought that I was going to be livid with the idea that Cracker Barrel was changing its decor. And he will never, ever, ever get into a discussion about politics with what his opinions are or anything like that in a public forum. Because he doesn't like controversy, and he doesn't want, you know, people canceling him or whatever, trying to. So he's baiting me into going off on this on the morning show that's not a political show. And he goes, TJ, I'm surprised that you're okay with this. I said, okay with it. I said, look, I actually agree with it. Because I'm the type of person that I like things that look new and fresh and bright and open, you know. And the Cracker Barrel had that lattice work that would divide the rooms, and it had, you know, all of that. It looked like junk to me, just hanging on the walls, because I grew up around all of that in rural Louisiana. It's just like, it just looks dirty to me. So... he's showing me videos and pictures of what it looks like, and they painted it white, and they opened it up, and they've got, you know, little shelves with some of the stuff on it, but it's not as cluttered looking and chaotic looking and all that stuff. And I was like, I love this. I think it's great. I don't know why people are freaking out. And next day it came up again about something, and he said, I still cannot believe you're okay with this. And I'm like, why? You know, I don't like, you know, I'm a less is more person when it comes to decorating and things. But when they came out and they debuted the new logo, and I think it was last night I talked about this, and I said, okay, something is a little different here, because this logo has been changed and it only says Cracker Barrel. And the main thing that they did was they took the old white man leaning on a barrel off of it. So that sends up a signal to me. A red flag. Like, all right. Now something's going on. And then everything really starts to hit about this new woke CEO woman that they have at Cracker Barrel, and how they're just trying to wokeify it and all of this stuff. So my apology to you is because I wasn't on top of it and I didn't see it quickly enough to run in here with it and give it to you good. The story, that is. Which I could have. I could, like, Riggins brought that up that morning. I could have come in here that night, and I would have been right on top of it. Boom. But I failed you because I couldn't see the forest for the trees. Now, I blame Riggins a little bit because he could have just said, you know, when we turned the mics off, instead of just saying, all right, I'm so surprised that you're not doing it, he could have said, hey, here is what's going on here. What, you know, your kind, what they're complaining about. But he didn't. So I guess I'm not really taking blame for anything after all. It's his fault. And then I got two producers in here that should have seen it before I did. So now, also their fault. So I'm glad I talked this out, because now I know that I did nothing wrong here, Your Honor. I'm just sitting up in here on my grown man, you know? No, I really should have been, and I felt left out when I first started seeing all of these things coming out about the Cracker Barrel. But here's the thing. I should have brought you that. I should have had the political twist to it, the whole thing. I admit it. But I personally still like the open floor plan with the bright colors and looking cleaner. And I don't know whether they're doing anything with that gift shop or not, but I honestly feel claustrophobic when the people at Cracker Barrel who seat you don't recognize me and rush me to a private table and I have to wait, like, you know, like the commoners do. You know, so I don't always allow them to clear the restaurant for me to eat when they see me coming up, because I mean, that's a little much. I'm like, hey, that is not necessary. I appreciate it, but that is not necessary. I'm a man of the people, and I say, don't disrupt these people's meals. I mean, they just got out of church. You know, they waited long enough for their tables. Don't make them get out just so I can eat in privacy. So I'm good like that. And I say, if you can just, you know, get me to my normal table that's in the separate room, it'll be fine. But sometimes they don't recognize me because, it, you know, obviously if that's the case, it's somebody who just got here from a different country or something. But I don't complain. I've never done the don't you know who I am thing. You know, I refuse to do that. So I wait in the gift shop like everybody else. But it is so cluttered and so small. And I want to go out and sit in the rocking chairs. But I know if I go out there, then it's just going to be, I'm going to get mobbed. So I can't do that. And that's for everybody else's safety. You know, we can't cause a stampede at the Cracker Barrel. I don't want to be the cause of that. So I just kind of tough it out in the gift shop. But here's what I'm wondering, though. If they're changing all of these things and it's for wokeness, are they still going to sell the gospel, the country gospel or Southern gospel, CDs and DVDs and all of that stuff that they still sell at Cracker Barrel? Are they going to sell any of that stuff? Because you would think if this girl, and then she does, she looks like a full-fledged, full-blooded, card-carrying liberal. Big old glasses, looks like she doesn't wear much makeup, just like, just a, you know, frumpy little thing. So I would think if she's like that, then she would order that all of that gospel stuff be taken out. Or any of the little trinkets in the gift shops that are, what do they call those things? Precious memories or precious, the little angel things. She would get all of that taken out and start selling you know, vapes and things of that nature, septum rings and green hair dye and all of that. You know, the stuff, the survival kit for a liberal woman. Have a little tattoo tent set up right outside where the rocking chairs are. But I haven't heard anything about that. Or are they going to start putting vegan choices on the menu? That's how you'll know for sure. But seriously, I mean, there are rumblings about Cracker Barrel now being the next Bud Light as far as a boycott from conservatives or, you know, just America-loving people. Now, I was doing personal boycotts of liberal companies, I mean, long time before Bud Light. I mean, I had a long list, and I still do, but I don't go around like trying to tell everybody else not to go to these places because they're, you know, run by a bunch of Marxists and stuff. I just kind of keep it to myself. But I did tell my kids, even though they're adults, I was like, you know, you make your money, you can spend it wherever you want now. But if I'm helping with any bill that you have, or even if you're still on my cell phone plan, you're going to get cut off of it if you go spend money with these Marxist companies. Because I look at it like that's money you could have been spending to pay for your own phone. So as long as you're completely free and clear of anything from me, then you can go buy Nike or any of that stuff that you want that I never allowed. Oh, I know they want to be defiant. My dad would never let us have this. All right, so I'm going to keep an eye on that Cracker Barrel. Because, you know, being a big back and all, Cracker Barrel has been important to me for many, many years. Being a great big fat person. Like I am. All right, TJ on the News is coming up next. It's kind of crazy, and you don't want to miss it. Hang on.
More of the TJ.
Hear the TJ Ritchie Show every weeknight at 7 Eastern. Stream it live at tjritchie.com or listen later as a podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or my media center at tjritchie.com. You'll be so glad you did, hopefully. That's tjritchie.com.
Live from the big city of Charlotte, North Carolina, it's TJ on the News.
News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. It's time to bring you the news from around the world. Isaac is here. Lonnie Ray is here, I think. Are you here, Lonnie Ray? Hello.
Yes, sir.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Come in, Lonnie. Come in, Lonnie.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Then let's get going with the lead story. Big news in the world of dog fitness. They are working on an Ozempic-type drug for dogs.
Oh.
For your fat, good-for-nothing, big-back dogs. Your lazy...
Yo.
Nasty 1,000-pound sister dogs. It said pharmaceutical companies are sniffing out new territory, tapping the same science behind blockbuster weight loss drugs like Ozempic and Wegovy to develop similar treatments for pets. A pawscription for weight loss. Isn't that adorable? A pawscription. I think that if your dog's overweight, rather than spending all the money that it's going to cost to be giving your dog injections so he won't eat as much, I think, you know how much dogs eat?
They eat a lot, man.
Do you know how much, Isaac, how much dogs eat?
How much you feed them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They eat what you feed them. And you know how much exercise they get? The exercise you give them by walking them and taking care of them, doing what you do.
Go play some fetch with your dog.
See, my fatness is my fault. The dog's fatness is its owner's fault. You know? But then again, I don't have anybody walking me either, so... So, yeah, there's that thing. Next story.
Give me a hoe if you got your funky bus fare.
All right, took a second to get to the pertinent part, but it's a story about buses. A school district in Indiana was forced to cancel school on Tuesday, just the fifth day of the school year, because there were no school buses. The catalytic converters from around 20 buses were stolen overnight. Stolen catalytic converters are a huge business. So this thief or thieves really hit the jackpot. The district didn't say if the police have any leads, but there's no word on any arrests yet. They also didn't say anything about their security at the bus garage, but it would probably be a good idea to ramp that up. I don't even know where a catalytic converter is on a vehicle. Do you, Lonnie?
I have not a clue, but I know that they got them.
Yeah, and I know people steal them and sell them. You know where it is? Could you point to it, Isaac?
I have no idea, but I know who could.
Who?
Your nearest crackhead. They sniff them out. They got a nose for them.
Where do they get the tools?
Man, shoot. Some of them be up under the car with no hands, man. I'm telling you.
They stole a Sawzall before going to get the catalytic converter.
And a bus, it had to be huge, wouldn't they?
Oh, they made some money.
Yeah,
they made some money.
You got to have a gang doing that, like a gang of people. 20 buses. Taking off catalytic converters and running off with them?
They used to park the buses at the schools, I guess. I don't know if they do it at the bus depots or not, but...
I don't know. This is in Indiana.
Oh.
It's a pro.
Man. But you know, well, I was going to say the kids were probably happy, but they're not. They don't get that anymore because they did it at home learning. They did the video uplink on the internet.
So that's terrible.
Oh, if you're in Indiana, you're walking to school. It don't matter if you bus is broke now, you're going to walk. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Take the snowmobile.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Next story. Japanese police have said that an elderly man, he's 93, and he was killed by a bear attack. And... it was a little while after they had determined that they decided to look a little bit farther into it on a tip from someone, and come to find out that the bear attacked this old gentleman and left marks that looked exactly like stab wounds and cuts from a knife.
Oh.
So, turns out that the man's son stabbed him and killed him, and then somehow came up with the story about a bear attacking him, and took the police. I mean, these are cracked detectives here that we're talking about.
So you're telling me a bear attacked him in his living room?
Yeah, and the son was like, yeah, and I don't know where the bear got the knife. You know, bears are dangerous as they are, but a knife-wielding bear, that is a menace to society. All right, next story. Because you had a bad day, you're taking one down, you sing a sad song. A 24-year-old man was arrested Tuesday after a witness reported a blue Toyota being driven at approximately 120 miles per hour with two tires missing.
What?
He was on Interstate 90 with two tires going 120. Deputies responded to the call, and they found the man in a park. He was reportedly on the ground and told the deputies he had about 10 drinks. Had about 10 drinks and had taken a Xanax earlier. Then it just got worse for him. A preliminary breath test read 0.092, and authorities said he performed poorly on field sobriety tests. He agreed to a blood draw and was booked into the jail without bond. An eyewitness stated, I saw him get out of the vehicle before y'all got here, and he stumbled over there to that trash can, and he put a big black bag in it. So the cops said, well, I guess we may need to look in there. And they did. And they found a bag which reportedly contained a mix of drugs, suspected to be MDMA, mushrooms, LSD, and methamphetamine.
Wow.
So it just got worse and worse for him. I mean, you talk about a domino effect. You like domino things, Lonnie. You say you like a domino effect. Well, yeah. There you go.
Yeah, that's one for you.
Mm-hmm. Something had to happen before he was clocked at 120 with two tires.
Mm-hmm.
So he must have had something bad come up against him for that.
Do we know what two tires were out?
No. Would it be better if one was front, one was back, or if they were on the same side, or they were both back tires? What are you thinking?
I think front two's worst case, you can't turn.
Yeah.
You at least don't have traction for a 120 mile an hour turn.
Mm-hmm. Assuming that it's a rear wheel drive.
Well, that is a big assumption.
Yeah. So we need to go investigate this crime scene to get the answers to the real question.
We'll be right back.
Yeah. All right, that's it for TJ on the news.
The TJ Ritchie Show. Radio, podcasts, and cool social media content. Get all the TJ you can handle at WBT.com/TJ. Now, back to the TJ Ritchie Show on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT.
So, the number is 704-570-1110. Text or call. The text line is driven by Liberty Buick GMC. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for texting, especially you brain-dead liberal Marxists. Your texts amuse me. So keep coming. And let me tell you something else. Listen to me. Seriously, liberals, listen. I know your lives are just hideously miserable because that's what being a liberal is. And you can't stand it. You don't know which way to turn because the good people in America are now winning things and getting the country back to the way a civilized society is supposed to live. I know it's hard for you, but listen. You can do better. Because when you sit there and you send me these insults and all of the stuff that you say, I am laughing at you because you're so weak-minded. But I also feel sorry for you because I want you, unless you're a criminal of some sort, I think you deserve happiness in U.S. America. And I really wish you would open your eyes, open your mind, open your hearts if your party hasn't already digged it and dug it out of your chest to the possibility of becoming happy by seeing this great country for what it is and seeing me for the great leader that I am, the talented, gonna be really handsome again when I finish losing all this candy coating that I've got, the brilliant, brilliant, funny, loving, adorable person that I am. We could be friends. Hell, I would consider being friends with you even if we don't agree politically. But it's because you're so nasty and you're so destroyed inside. You've got this like it's a parasite that's just gnawing away. You ever seen that show that is called Monster Inside Me? And it's about people who go off in these exotic vacations to the jungles and they get in, you know, dirty rivers and foreign countries and stuff, and they come back with some sort of a parasite, or they come back with bot fly larva embedded into their head or under their skin somewhere. That's what the Democrat Party is doing to you. They're eating you from within. And you can stop it. But it's not going to stop by your lashing out at me. Now, I know you lash out at me and you think that you've accomplished something. Oh, I called him this name, or I just cussed him out, and I know he saw it even though he didn't respond. I know it's bugging him. It's not. I feel sorry for you, and I want to help you. Please let me. Please. All I need you to do is make that walk down this aisle. I'll be up here to pray with you, get you on the right track. I'll counsel you as much as I need to. We'll get every member of the conservative movement we can possibly stir up to come in here and welcome you with open arms. We'll lay hands on you. We will pray for that black hole inside you to be healed.
Amen, brother.
Please. Because if we can help each other, and by that I mean if I can help you because you're sad and pathetic, if we can help each other, then this country is going to be better off. Just reach out. Whenever you need me, I'll be there. Whenever you want me, I'll be there. And here. I know I'm a busy man. Being so famous and being pulled in all different directions, everybody wants a piece of me for some reason. But you know what? I'll make time for you. I was supposed to go on patrol with the president in D.C. tonight as he goes out with the law enforcement officers as a ride-along. I was supposed to be part of that. But something told me I needed to come to my volunteer job tonight. And maybe it was because I was called to come here to heal all of you. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to lay hands on this microphone. And I want you to reach out. Take my hand. Be brave enough. Take my hand. And let me walk you into the light, the happiness. Shake that old devil's suit called liberalism and Marxism and all. The devil can make himself look like the most appetizing dessert, or the most beautiful woman, or the most handsome man, to tempt you into doing what's wrong. And you've already taken that bait, brothers and sisters. Brothers and sisters in that liberal community, break free from that. We want you over here. We want every American to do the best they can. And you're not going to do the best you can as long as you're believing all of that mess. It's poison. Poison. So the next time you feel like you're going to get the best of me by sending me some kind of a nasty, profanity-laden, mean message, just stop. Just stop and think about how much better your life could be if you turned that around and just said, TJ, please help me. You'll live a much more fulfilled life. So again, that old number is 704-570-1110. And I am glad that you're with us tonight. I'm always glad. Even though a lot of you are the same ones that make your presence known every night by sending me a message that says that I'm an idiot or blank me or something about my family, or any of that kind of stuff. Because, you know, we know that a lot of that is just a, you know, you're putting up a brave front because you're scared, and it's okay. All right. So, Lonnie, if you would please wipe the phone lines from happy people that are trying to call, and let's leave it open for our miserable brothers and sisters on the left. Could you do that?
Yes, sir. Amen.
Okay. Thank you. Oh, seems like that old devil's still whispering in their ears because they're not quite ready to take the help. But we're going to keep them in our prayers. Let's put them on that green-eyed patriot prayer list. We'll keep them on there. If I don't have their names on some of these vile texts, I do have their phone numbers. So some of them may need to be turned over to the authorities for some of the stuff that they're saying. But, we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. Okay. Let's see. What do we need to educate the people on next? Well, as long as we're on the subject of people lashing out because that old devil's in them, we've got a woman that is calling for people to do certain things to MAGA, she calls them, that will probably end her up in jail, and hopefully the prison ministry will be able to take care of her. But we'll let you know what she's all about coming up next.
It's TJ Ritchie.
Hear the TJ Ritchie Show every weeknight at 7 Eastern. Stream it live at tjritchie.com or listen later as a podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or my media center at tjritchie.com. You'll be so glad you did, hopefully. That's tjritchie.com.
Identifying liberalism and mocking it relentlessly. This is the TJ Ritchie Show on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT.
We're having fun here, ladies and gentlemen. We're having fun. I keep thinking, though, that it's Friday. It's Friday. Got to get down on Friday. But it's not. But that's all right. That's all right. You know, I never thought I could love doing a job and having fun at, you know, being, you know, kind of a, I don't know, flame fanner and not get paid for it. But look at me. I love it. I love it. Okay. In all seriousness, there is a crazy lady that needs to be analyzed by me because I am the nation's leading societal profiler. And I also know everything there is to know about women, especially the crazy ones. The ones with squirrels in their heads. And this counts as one of those women. Listen.
Okay, guys. So I would like to start a new movement called See MAGA. MAGA. Because people like that respond to fear and terror and aggression.
Okay, hang on a second. All right, she's a little hard to understand. She wasn't hard to understand when I was watching her, but just hearing the audio, she's a little bit hard to understand. She's saying, here's what we need to start doing with MAGA. And she says, shoot them is the first thing. And she's trying to talk like she's a psychopath and all, which I don't doubt that she is, but she's trying to make herself seem scarier than she is. Like she's some kind of crazy woman in a movie or something. So just a, you know, she's acting, you know, pretending like she's playing house or something. Listen.
Empathy and I don't know. Intelligence, it doesn't work for them. So fear works. So if we all get our guns and use our Second Amendment
if we all get our guns and use our Second Amendment rights, okay.
Common sense at this point, this administration is begging us to rise up and revolt. And you see somebody with a MAGA hat, be That's what we do. That's the way. It's the only way. Put them back in their basements, make them scared again to be racist, homophobic, and terrible, just awful pieces of because I would way rather live next to immigrants than MAGA people.
All right, I can't understand her anymore. So here's what the gist of it is that she is one of these women that we've been, you know, on this show pointing out for a long time, as long as I've been on here. She's one of these women that is vile and tries to act all tough and sits around and thinks about, oh, I'm going to say something on social media that's going to get me some attention. And she doesn't have control of her emotions. I mean, very, you know, liberal-like. Can't control her emotions. Has no rational fact behind whatever it is that she's saying. It's just insults. She knows she hates conservatives or people who are Trump supporters. And she's so frustrated with everything because they're finding out, like I've been saying, they're finding out that they are ridiculous, and people who have common sense know that they're ridiculous. And nothing that they're throwing out there, none of these hyperbolic things that they throw out, none of these extreme points of view that they have, just spouting off with no facts behind them. They're just spouting off emotions and this, that, and the other. It's not working for them. The people are not catering to these brats at the moment. Now, will they get that back someday? Probably, because Republicans are that obtuse sometimes to where they start thinking, oh, we got it. We got the country back. And then, you know, don't stop to think that the professional Democrats are ruthless and they never stop planning. They never stop attacking. They never stop working. They're like dang head and shoulders. Never not working. But at the moment, nobody is catering to these brats and their ridiculousness. And so then you have some bat excrement crazy woman who wants to get on social media and start talking all tough. I see these, like one of them a day probably, with these women who are calling for all of this violence and being tough and all that. When they're sitting at home, not going to do anything. But it makes them feel like they're tough. Like, ooh, I told them. I told them off. You know, the type of woman who always brags and thinks that it's something great or makes her seem tough when she tells somebody what a B she is. Oh, I'm a total B. You're like, okay, well, that's not something to be bragging about. Doesn't make you tough. Well, this is just one of those. I suspect she's lonely, too, and nobody listens to her at home. Nobody listens to her in her family because she's probably that friend that sits there emailing all these conspiracy theories about everything to her friends and family, and they have to block her and all that. You know the type. You got one of those in your family. We have them in mine, but they're my wife's family, not me. She's got some nutty liberals in her family that she's had to block on social media and everything else because they're just ridiculous. But this is that type of woman. Oh yeah, you're so tough. Wah, wah. Also, she's sitting there in a sports bra with her boobs swinging all over the place. Had to make sure that she got that on the camera as well because she's thirst trapping at the same time. Now, if you're an adult of a certain age, you don't know what thirst trapping is. That means when somebody's thirsty, it means that they're looking for compliments or confirmation about stuff. So if a girl posts a picture of herself or a video on social media where she thinks she's looking good, she's thirst trapping, asking for compliments. So this woman was trying to kill two birds with one stone, trying to make herself seem like she's tough and she's up on the issues and she's so frustrated and all that she's, you know, I don't care what they think of me. I say, kill them. Kill them. Pew, pew. You know, and at the same time, swinging her boobs around, trying to get people to say she looks good. And somebody I know fell for that. I won't say who that was. Anyway. And like I've said, and if you are on social media and you see all of these things that pop up on these, you know, kind of news sites and things like that, it is always, well, 9 times out of 10, it's the women who say the most vile, out of, you know, the norm things and the most shocking, or that they're trying to be the most shocking. Because when a woman decides that she needs to do something against some, that she's do something against what she's determined is bad, or somebody's doing something against her, then they just get over the top vicious. Why? Because it is a known fact from science that women are more emotional than men. So that's why they spout off these things. And I really do hope that she gets a visit from the police, because I think she definitely deserves one. And you know what? I hope they give her the full treatment. Handcuffs, perp walk her to the back of a squad car in her little neighborhood, take her downtown. You can't be communicating threats like that. And the fact that she did it on the internets, I think that makes it a federal crime. I'm not sure. I'm not a federal attorney. I'm only a regular attorney. So I wish we could keep up with this. I want to see her looking around and going, "Uh-oh. I guess this is what happens when you spout off too much, when you don't know what you're talking about." Because nobody's scared of you, lady. Just like you need a little pat on the head. "Okay, we see you. Simmer down now. We see you. Yeah, you're doing so well. You're such a big girl now, cussing and threatening people, trying to get people to kill innocents. All right, good job. Now, simmer down. Go back to your dry Cheerios. Don't spill any. We'll check on you again in a little while. Ugh. And put on some clothes. How about that?" Hang on, we got more coming up.
The DJ Richie Show. Late, live, and local. It's the DJ Richie Show. On News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT.
All right. I'm at a little bit of a personal dilemma here. I don't know if we're supposed to be boycotting Cracker Barrel or not. I mean, if we're boycotting them just because they changed the decor, but the order to change the decor comes from a leftist CEO woman, or I guess it should be a WCEO, you would call her, a woman CEO. I mean, that's bad enough. Pretending, you know, making this poor woman think that she's in charge. That's not nice. I'm kidding, ladies. I'm kidding. But even though she is, if she is a leftist, which you can look at her and tell, because you leftists have a look. You do. First of all, most of you look like you're smelling poop all the time. You got that grimace on your face. And you're not happy. We discussed that earlier, which I can help with. Offer still on the table. So changing the decor to me doesn't say she's woked it all up. Now, taking the old man off the logo I spotted that as being something that's left. Because I assume, judging from the way all commercials on TV are now, where you rarely see a masculine white man as the lead in a commercial. And if a masculine white man is the lead in a commercial, he's the buffoon that needs help from a woman or somebody else in a marginalized group, quote unquote, to show him the right way. And again, I didn't say heterosexual white male. I said masculine white male, because you can be gay and be masculine, and that won't count as far as the, you know, the chopping block or the pecking order of the marginalized. Because if people can't tell you're gay, then doesn't do the left any good to put you out front. So a masculine gay white guy is as far down on the bottom as a masculine hetero white guy when it comes to the way leftists think. But if that's it, and I know this woman was on Good Morning America today with Michael Strahan. But I didn't watch the interview or anything. But I'm sure they were singing her praises and know how wonderful and so great. Breaking the glass ceiling at the Cracker Barrel and getting a woman in charge and blah, blah, blah. Don't know her sexual preference, but if you're hiring somebody based on, you know, their group and where they identify, then I don't know that they would hire a straight white woman, even if she's a lib. So you see, there are all these factors that go into it that I just don't have the answers to. And I don't want to give up that chicken fried steak if the restaurant hasn't been fully woked, you know. Bud Light, that was one thing. I don't like Bud Light anyway, but there are so many other beers that one could replace Bud Light with that thing was easy. Now, my family, under my leadership, boycotted Target for a long time, you know, with the trans and kids and all of that stuff. And they got into that pot. But, I mean, I just got to find the line of how woke Cracker Barrel needs to be before I'm willing to give up that hash brown casserole. You hear me? Now, I can make that hash brown casserole at home. That's just as good. But, I mean, just pulling an old white man off the logo is not going to be enough for me, I don't think, to walk away from that fried okra. Mm-mm. So, I guess what I'm saying is I got to get to work. I got to find out the true details of all of it. I wonder if I can get that woman to come on my show. I can't get anybody to come on my show. Not that I've tried. You know why? Because I look at it like, who's going to come on here and say something better than what I'm saying? You hear me, like? Nobody. No damn body. Not even Trump. So the libs are going nuts because Trump's going out on a ride along with the law enforcement in D.C. I think that's great. Not only because it's just a kick in the butt to the bratty liberals, but because it's cool. I think it's cool. I mean, he truly is a man of the people. And I don't care, you know, how much money he's got. I don't care about the crowd in which he runs, with which he runs. the man knows how to connect with everyday Americans. And I'm thankful for it. And every time one of these nut job liberals doesn't know how to contain themselves and just spouts off some craziness and makes a fool of themselves, I'm thankful for Trump. Because he's led the way. He's the one that threw the toaster in the water that made them all come up to the surface. Now, again, I'll say, we're going to have to do something to make sure that when he's gone, it doesn't just go away. Because here's what I'm worried about with the Republicans. All of this data that's out now, all of this research, these numbers saying that the Democrats are just blindly going and trying to find some kind of support somewhere. Because that report came out about how they lost voter registrations and everything, and how it just did a complete turnaround, and the young men of all races in the U.S. Have flipped, and they've new registrations for voting have gone to the Republicans in a much bigger clump, and that the more Democrats try to, you know, go left against Trump, the worse it gets for him. I mean, that's all great. But Republicans need to not look at that and just say, hey, well, we won. We're in the clear. You know, they did that with, was it 1993? When Newt Gingrich took over as Speaker of the House, and it was just the Republican wave that got elected when Clinton was in office. And didn't take long before they lost that. Democrats were in charge again. You can't rest. You can't turn your back on Democrat politicians and the ones that run the party. You can't do it. And I've always said I'm a little jealous of how they do that, where they stick together, they keep fighting, they never let up, even though they're disgusting people who are working against what's good in the country. You got to give them credit for sticking with each other and staying on mission, staying on message. And they will find their way again, but we've got to be there when they start to find their way. We've got to have leadership that will say, we're not going into that again. We need all Republicans to have the courage that Donald Trump has to go after them. And stop giving the media so much power. Who cares? So what? Who cares about the media? All right. Thanks for listening tonight. I appreciate it. All 11 of you. And the great one, Mark Levin, is coming up next. Remember, God loves you, and there ain't nothing you can do about it.
Hear the TJ Ritchie Show every weeknight at 7 Eastern. Stream it live at tjritchie.com or listen later as a podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or my media center at tjritchie.com. You'll be so glad you did, hopefully. That's tjritchie.com.